I'm Danny.
And I'm Althea.
And we are
DNA Live, baby. I love that horn. Okay, so we definitely have a great show on tonight, but I got to get through a couple of things. So you just be quiet and I'm just going to go through it. So I want to start off with, first off, hats off to our multi-platinum artist, M City Jr. Not only does he have 100 million streams, okay, but now he just premiered, I guess, in Greece, right? The other
we
day?
We just broke it. 10 million streams in Greece. In
10,000. 10,000 streams in the first week. Unbelievable. Also, to Michelle Langone. Oh my gosh, this woman is killing me. She's going to be dropping a new single April 11th with Quavo Huncho, and it's called No Matter What. And I can't wait. You know, I mean, I got it, and I told her I wouldn't listen to it until we both had a chance to, you know, really listen to it together. But this is going to be hot, and it's April 11th, Michelle Langone featuring Quavo Huncho. That's coming out, so watch for that. Wow. We'll also be premiering it on DNA Radio.
Okay.
Okay. So just remember, DNA Radio, we have our own app, okay? So it's DNA Digital Media, Android or Apple iPhone, go download it. You'll see all our live streams. You'll see the DJ Energetic show. You'll see DNA Live and the Sunday Spectacular. It's the Sunday we have a freestyle from 4 to 8 on Sundays. All freestyle music. So check that out too.
Can I say something real quick?
Oh, okay. Go
download
ahead.
The app, and everybody already knows your boy DJ Energetic with the lovely co-host Althea on DNA Media. Ladies and gentlemen, please definitely download it on You Ready Though on all the screaming platforms.
Right, there you go. So just download it. You'll see that icon on DNA Digital Media. Download it and have some fun with that. Also, one more last thing. Last night, I got a couple of clips here just to show real quick. We went to go see Miss J perform. Phenomenal. Go check her out as well. It's also the Miss J Experience on Instagram. So Miss J, just the J, no J-A-Y, okay? The Miss J Experience. Go check her out.
Miss J Experience.
We had such an experience last night.
Listen, I bought a CD. I got a CD. So it is what
yeah, we
it
got
is.
A CD out of it. So anyway, yeah. Anyway, you can show a little. Okay, so anyway, check Miss J out. That girl is so phenomenal. I have such a great time. Every time I go see her performances, she is so alive. Okay, that's all I got to say. But now, coming up after the break, we have an R&B legend in the building.
Okay?
R&B, there we go. And you'll know who we're talking about after the commercial break. Just wait. And we'll be right back with the legendary Keith Mitchell.
Keith Mitchell, let's go. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Paradise Content Creation Studios, where your creativity finds its perfect home. Imagine a space where innovation meets inspiration at every corner. Our state-of-the-art facilities are designed to transform your ideas into extraordinary realities. Whether you're crafting cinematic masterpieces or viral content, we have it all covered. Join a community of creators who dare to dream and push the boundaries of possibility. With cutting-edge technology and a passionate team, your projects are destined for greatness. Step into a realm where every detail is meticulously crafted for your success. At Paradise Content Creation Studios, unleash the power of your imagination and watch it soar.
Oh my gosh, she is back. So happy. Althea, you are back to DNA Radio, and that you are healthier and happier. We love you. Thank you so much for all the support you've always given us. You are the best DNA, baby. So happy to have you back.
Tus ojitos me iluminan, aunque no quiera, no quiera. Me tenés loco en la cabeza, cuando tus fotos no las he borrado y tus besitos no los he olvidado. Eres bella, I think about you all the time. But it's been 2 years now since I last saw you. Y no saliste.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
Yes, we are. But just for those out there, because obviously the generation out there that does watch may not know or remember, okay? So here's a little taste of what's coming up on our show right now. Let's just do it, okay?
Go ahead.
Roll it. I was just getting a little bit too much of myself right now.
Yeah, I think
but anyway.
Go ahead.
Okay. So coming up right now, the legendary R&B original member of After Seven, Keith Mitchell. Let's go.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Super welcome. Super welcome.
Oh, you happy have to no be idea. Here, guys. You know, wow. with that, you know, it just we were just obviously talking before the show, but it was just like, you know, it was just so thrilling back then, you know, the videos, the people, the music, the lyrics, you know, it was just like, you know, this is how people dance back then, you know, now it's like, you know, it just drives me crazy.
Oh, goodness.
Things have gotten a little cosmetic.
Yeah,
I was about to say that.
Thank you. You know, it's just
that's
like
a great way to put it.
Yeah, it's just like it's not the same. You know, it's like oh, Keith Mitchell, yeah, baby. You know, it's, I'm just so happy to have him on the show. So, obviously, we could start. You were born in Indianapolis, okay? At the age of 7, this was interesting. The Stars of Zion. Let me know about that because you became the leading director with the songs in that church, correct?
Well, what happened was at the age of 7, I was saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And my mother was really a prayer warrior and a missionary at a young age. And so she drove her 4 kids at the time, which is myself, a brother, and 2 older sisters. And we spent a lot of time in church. So at that young age, I was gifted, so to speak, in the ability to fall in love with melody and music. So I was attracted to it. So my sister, my 2 sisters and my brother and I had formed a little young group out of that church experience. And we called ourselves the Stars of Zion. And the name of the church was Zion Tabernacle. So that's where we kind of got the affiliation of Stars of Zion. But that was my introduction to music and gospel music at such a young age.
See, but don't we always talk about that when whether it's R&B or the classical contemporary artists and stuff, a lot of them were based from the church.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best artists has come from the church.
It's just a and we were just saying that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say it is the melting pot of where we get dipped into it. You know, when you think about the church, it came from back, you go back to the slavery days when they used to hum the old hymns out in the plantation fields. And we evolved from that into blues, into jazz, and they were all music genres that connected what was going on in a community. And right. So, you know, the church experience was us finally peeping at some freedom, even though we were still in shackles in a lot of ways, but it offered a sense of freedom. And that's where Blacks came together in larger numbers and we worshiped and praised together. So it just became natural thing for Blacks on a whole to get to share the experience of music and church and praising God. It was the only place where we could really do it.
Yeah. Mm. You know, he's so deep, isn't he?
Hey, man.
I love this
perfectly
guy.
Said.
I just love this guy.
Perfectly said. I couldn't say it better than myself.
No, I'm all before, because every artist that we that has a different respect for the music and respect for their craft, it always stems from the church. That's what I believe. You know, always. You
listen,
know?
The best singers I ever seen come from church.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying. And I feel like that's because, you know, the gospel and all that, and a lot of them, I like, you know, when somebody can sing, when they come right, they go, "Oh, I came out of the church." Like they got pipes.
Yeah,
like, you know, like you look right out of the church, you're like, they got pipes. Like,
I need to go to church. Yeah. I think I need to go to church. Maybe, you know,
absolutely. Everyone needs to go to church.
Praise the Lord. So also, he majored in business at Indiana University. Now, there you were in a prestigious program for R&B performance, Soul Reveal, right?
Mm-hmm. And the IU Soul Review. Yes, ma'am.
Right. And that's where he intertwined with Kevin Edmonds.
Correct.
And his brother Melvin. So give us a little bit of that.
Well, the IU Soul Review is a 40-piece ensemble comprised of two music sections that, once we put together a show, it'd be one half of the show would be one music section, then another section would play the second half of the show. But the organization was a college class, and you got a grade for it. You had to audition for it. So there were a male vocal group of four or five young men. There was a female vocal group of four young ladies. And then there was a mixed vocal group of two guys and two girls. And each one of those groups rehearsed R&B and top 40 music, and we were given the opportunity to perform that music. And they also taught us not only the performance, but the business of music. And Kevon and myself was in that stand-up male vocal group, and that's where we forged a friendship in learning to sing and dance and project in an entertainment environment, and got a grade for it. Matter of fact, we always got A's.
Yeah. I can't say the same for myself. always getting A's. No, I can't say that. So, in other words, you, Kevon, and Melvin got together within this group.
No, it was just Kevon and myself that went to Indiana University and participated in the IU Soul Review. But during the summers, I'd go back to Indianapolis. Kevon would go back to Indianapolis. And it became just kind of like a natural thing that we hung together. And then we started singing in different little singing contests around Indianapolis. Oh, wow. And of course, at home is Kenny Babyface Edmonds, but he wasn't Babyface back then. Right, he was just Kenneth Edmonds.
Right.
But his talent was immense at this point because of his involvement in some groups around Indianapolis. Of course, there was the first group he was in, it was called Manchild. And then that kind of evolved into The Deal, because The Deal was from Cincinnati. Manchild was from Indianapolis, and they would extend different times. Manchild would go to Cincinnati and play, and then vice versa would come to Indianapolis and play. So when they were on their downtime, Kenny would use us kind of like vocal guinea pigs, and we'd go into like we would go into a restroom in a hotel room, for example, and he would take a 4-track recorder and he'd record Melvin, Kevon, and myself singing harmony on a half of a track. And then we sing it on the other half of the track. So now you got six voices and you only hear four. So you got music on the other track. So lead vocal would have to be on that fourth track, but they split in the track. So by the time he uses up four tracks and splitting them, he had a full song that felt like a demo. And of course, we were blessed with the opportunity to sing on some of those things. And I think that kind of became the impetus later on for him to recognize that we had a sound and we were somewhat special. And we won most of those little singing gong show kind of contests around Indianapolis over the years.
So how many, like, how many shows, I will put it this way, how long were you doing that until, like, when was that breakout time? When was that time that everything broke out?
Well, the college experience probably lasted, you know, typical 3 years. I think Kevon was in it for a year, and then he went home to support Babyface's efforts in his career with the deal and then some solo things. A few, maybe 4 or 5 years later, the deal kind of fell out and LA and Face decided to work together, and they moved, they took their efforts, their talents to Los Angeles. It was only, you know, a stroke of midnight or so before their talent got noticed over at Solar Records, and they were given some opportunities to pen some writings on some great artists that opened the door to a slew of hits that came after that. Yes. So, you know, in all, before it got to us, there probably was a total maybe from college to the experience of them flirting with pulling us together was probably about 8 years.
So basically it was 8 years of them, of him messing around with the idea of putting everything together.
Well, he was working on other artists, him in LA. Okay. Once they decided to go to Los Angeles, they just became so popular. They were putting songs on almost what felt like everybody. And we would be, I'm in Chicago at this point. Kevon is in Indianapolis. Melvin was in Cleveland. And, you know, the people around us knew what we had, but we didn't see a pathway of coming together, even though Kenny knew, Babyface knew what we had. They had to ingrain themselves in a body of success to open the opportunity for us. And they gave, you know, Kevon and Melvin both information, hey, get yourselves together, you know, pay your bills down. You know, we may have some opportunities coming at some point. So we were just asked to stay ready, you know, instead of getting ready.
That's so ready or not. There you go. There you go.
I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready for that one. You don't just throw a punchline. Just throw a punchline like that. But no, that's pretty interesting though, because a lot of artists sometimes get discouraged when it doesn't come that way. And the way that you guys are like, okay, you know what? We're watching them blow up. We're watching them. They're loved and all that. They're just waiting for us to be ready for us to go right into that slot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So correct. That's so cool, because that shows discipline.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
We were pretty mature young men at that point, even though we had other endeavors that we were involved in. But we took the opportunity when it came. It was a more of a business-minded approach to what we were doing. We were older, and people thought that we were a lot younger because of how we looked and how we sounded. But we were mature, so we took the business approach to the opportunity. And that's kind of like how we were able to have the longevity that we did, because we were pretty smart. We asked a lot of questions.
Yeah. So, no, that's really dope, because I always talk to young artists, right? The independent with the artists. And they always, not saying they just jump too fast to like, oh, this ain't going to go quick. Oh, this ain't going to go great. And then all of a sudden hearing that you're basically saying is, you know what? We took our time. We saw what they were doing and they had a vision for us. So what we did was we just waited it out and see what they were going to do. And here we are now.
Absolutely. I mean, it was nothing that we could hang our hat on, our part of whatever the effort would be. We had to be patient and let them do what they do. And mind you, it was a lot of years that go by that we're sitting up watching Roses on Red. You know, we're hearing number one records on, you know, Sheena Easton, Paula Abdul, Bobby Brown. I'm saying it's just one act after the other, and we hear it on the radio in our collective cities, but we can't visualize us coming out because we didn't have a focus on us. It's just that they knew we were there, and people in the industry knew we were there because some of the demos that they first allowed, Solar Records to hear was a sound of Kevon, Melvin, and Keith. Right. And so, but they weren't shopping us, they were shopping their songs. So, they knew there was a sound. It was like, well, who are those guys in the new section?
They knew the talent.
They're like, oh, that's just my two brothers and one of their friends. So we weren't on the table, but we weren't mad. We were just glad. At this point, people have to understand, back then, there was no collage of opportunities to get into the music business. It just was not there. What people are experiencing today is the phenomena of technology, which has made it like open door for anybody who can hum a note to get your artistic music put into a song form and make it available with digital world now. And people like DistroKids, your record is out overnight. So there's a million ways to get into this business today. But when we came along, we were kind of mid hip hop. We were like R&B, old school. We had that vibe and that feel, but here hip hop was being birthed at the same time. So we just happened to find a crease in that little piece of the musical environment change that gave us an opportunity, and we just ran with it. That's all.
I love it. I love it. I love it because it's pretty dope because it's like, man, it's just, we knew our time was coming, but we didn't know when.
Right.
And I think that is just so dope because they actually hear it from, and one thing about, I just want to just make a quick comment about, a lot of the dudes are very lucky nowadays that they get to go see themselves digitally on there. But I feel like a lot of times too, is the producer is the one that always catches it the worst, because I feel like, back then you guys were polished. It wasn't like you guys wouldn't throw something just in the wall to see if it sticked.
Correct.
So I feel like that's where the technology kind of messes up young artists is to really get themselves out there, because they have so much material. They don't know how to push it or where it's going to go.
What's missing is that the artist development component. I mean, now that you can just go into a studio and come up with the music, that has nothing to do with the professionalism to separate yourself from everybody else. So, the whole hip hop rap music era brought in the visual change of that professionalism that you're talking about, because once you learn a rap and it became popular on a beat, you no longer needed that professional presentation. I mean, MC Hammer was one of the first to really put a show together with rap that represented entertainment. And that's what we as artists, we were more considered entertainment, where we give you a visual experience along with the musical experience. And that separates old school from new school in a big way.
Let me just interject, because if you watch a lot of their videos, it's a lot of visual.
Yeah, but that's what it used to be. And then what's cool though, you actually heard a real voice.
Yeah.
You didn't hear something that was just digitally made, digitally created, putting into here. You hear somebody's real voice and the vocals and the way they sung. There was no way to go
no
around
editing.
That. If you couldn't sing, you really couldn't sing.
No auto tune.
There was no way around that.
It was all authentic.
Professional talent.
Ready or not. Yeah. There you go. You just watch that video, forget it. That's when baby boomers were like happening back then too.
Oh
God.
We was making.
That's
baby boomers. We was making more baby boomers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the era.
Put the collab on.
Let me just say that was the era you didn't need TV. All you needed was a song. That's it.
Thank you guys. A lot of people wouldn't be around if it wasn't for good R&B singers.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Me? Are you kidding me?
A lot of babies want to be here without y'all. Take y'all.
just remember, I would like to take a poll to see how many generations, like, what is the population of the generation like ours that grew up in the 80s compared to the ones now in 2025.
Don't compare it.
I'm just saying.
Don't compare it.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I love Gen Zs, but that era is just an era on its own. I'm sorry.
You know, it's funny because you watch them, you know, and you grew up with the gentlemen like Keith and everybody else in that era. And it was just a different feeling. It was a different genre. It was a different robust kind of, I get too emotional with this stuff. I really do, don't I? Yeah, but you know, it's just, they just don't do it like you anymore. You know?
Music changes.
Yeah.
And it has a right to change because it's an interpretation of a feeling that you get when you do hear instrumentation. So,
right.
You know, it's like my music that I'm trying to bring to the gospel world now.
Right,
it's feathered with a feel of hip hop, a feel of R&B, and it has the gospel, but my messages are straightforward. It's all about Jesus, God, the word of God, and the experience of God in your life and how much I love him.
Right.
So, but I just feel like, you know, they're in the gospel realm, we have contemporary, we have this, you know, traditional gospel, these different areas where, you know, the church will feel one way or the other about a particular brand of music that's being portrayed. But I believe that the most important thing in gospel is to get the word of God to the young people. And in any church, the most important thing is the youth, because the church could die off if we just cater to old school. So in order to meet the youth and get them indoctrinated in the times that we're living in right now, with the experience of Mr. President of the United States, we need some alternatives. And we need to stick together. And the one thing that is the real thing, I think, in everybody's life is a God, is that spiritual sense of your existence. And we're all in tune to music. And music has been that universal force, even though we've heard that word said over time. But honestly, there was music before there was singing and before there was dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was music that is the chord. And I think that any artist that loves music should be allowed to share their music, interpret their music, and we should be open to listen to it, especially when it's about the gospel. But I think it's across all genres of music that the interpretation belongs to the person. So what Keith Mitchell was giving you is Keith Mitchell's version. I've totally been jaded by the LaFace approach to delivering music, because that's where I came through that cocoon. And I'm also from the church, and I'm also from R&B, just as a lover of music. So, but I just think that the freedom that the youth have today is a great opportunity, but they still should find a way to, you know, deliver something a little bit more meaningful sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's so correct.
Substance.
There is no, I don't, you know what, we would need another hour.
It's not a lot of times to, I really think he's right though. The gospel and the way to preach, and a lot of the people, the kids, you know, coming up right now, honestly, should be, a lot of them are not in church. So they don't really go, they don't really preach the gospel, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like, honestly, if they listen to the gospel and then listen, my thing is, being a DJ and understand artistry, man, is it comes from your soul. It doesn't come from anybody else.
That part.
And that what, part. Really, what really knocks me down is people feel like they got to be a carbon copy just to fit in, not realizing every artist out there has his own substance in his own way. Yeah. See, you and me have our own different journeys in life, but somehow we'll end up in the same place. They don't see that. What they're seeing is, they're seeing people telling them you can make money this way, selling themselves to make money this way and not realizing if they come straightforward and try to really take, even the path might be a little bit harder, but the journey's going to be better at the end.
Wow.
Wow, I know. I was like, so profound. Oh, my God. Wow.
I love music.
Holy cow.
The universe says it. You know what I'm saying? I love music.
Okay. I could not have said it like that. That was.
I hear it. He's on point.
He was on point. I was like, whoa. Okay. I thought I was the smart one. Holy cow. Okay. So with that said, I would love to get to his video.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So
I definitely want to hear this.
Can we roll that, please? From Keith Mitchell. He's alive. Let's do it, baby.
Thank you.
Let's play it. Let's go. Hey,
here we go. One second.
Out there.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, maybe not. Do we have it?
Yeah, it's in there.
It's in there. I know I gave it to him, so I can see it right somewhere around there. Okay. Can you replay it?
Hello?
Okay, we're trying. Hold on one sec.
Yeah, give us one second.
They're just trying to figure out what was going on. Something was happening with the video. Maybe we can just go to commercial break real quick.
Yeah, go to commercial break.
And then we'll figure that out.
Put your hands up. Right now we're inside a war with ourselves. Yo, America, are we gonna wake up from this? Where are the real Americans at, you heard? Man, you blinded and you lied. You just censor inside your own. Everyone pretends they love you, but messing you up in homes. Laughing without the way you can't even afford food. And everybody looking at you acting so rude. They thinking that they love you, your skin, that's what they see. They don't understand the melanin well it be. But the anger that they got, they just play for each other. A civil war, they trying to come for us, kill one another. But I woke up last night, I gotta talk to my peers. Tell them, listen, we gotta march and what do we? You laughing, you crying, you angry, you feeling the skating. Saying with all the time, they just demonstrated. Leave you inside the cars, they don't wanna see you out. They leave you locked doors, breaking your doors over locked. They lock doors. You up, they wanna trap you, put you inside with a lock, it's mental block. Cause all you ever hear when is the cops screaming lifeless. Now all of a sudden we thinking prices. Putting that two there, be called crashing in crisis. Now they hating how the way how they even look. They try to lock us up, throw it down, try to play the book. Wanna get us shook every time, try to get it booked. Overshook, saying God is there, but love is overlooked. They try pretending that we close with a phone next to each other's ears. But we're more social distancing, corona, yeah. They try to act it like we ain't one inside our home. We acting like that we ain't wanted what inside our home. I said, let's fight.
Now I got to let her know, daddy ain't never gonna leave. You know I want you, girl, for all eternity. I said he's generated, but now he's charged up. See, you better get your phone, you better part up. He's shutting down everybody, what again? He doesn't care, cause you know the energy's about to rise in the air. Going to shake, shake it for the money, shake, shake, shake it for the money, shake, shake, shake it for the money.
And are you ready to live the holy life? There ain't no time for you to live in despair. God, he knows your heart. Yes, he really cares. And has Jesus made a change in your life?
Yes.
Did he make a way out of no way? Has God been good to you? Did you tell somebody how he saved your life?
How he saved your life?
That's why we praise the Lord.
What it is with my life.
Oh, Jesus.
I know he's alive.
He is alive, ladies and gentlemen. He is alive.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You go. I'm going to keep fanning myself. Go ahead.
No wonder it was delaying, because that song is deep.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was.
And that was the powers we be that did not want to see that record. That did not want to see he's alive.
Exactly. That was the enemy trying to block something. But hey,
when I first heard the song, when they sent it over to me, all I kept saying at the end was like, "Preach, Keith. Preach. Just keep preaching."
Listen,
baby.
First of all, I didn't think you were gonna start rapping.
I know he was. Oh my god,
nice twist, man. I like the flow and the melody with the you. Yo, he did a tongue twist in one of them parts. I'm like, whoa, yeah. Okay.
You had to see him. I don't know if you could see us, you know, while the video was playing, but when you started rapping, he just did a 360. Went what?
Yeah, I was like, huh?
What? What?
Yeah, I think I got a few skills. I don't really call myself the rapper, but when I wrote the song, it just felt, when it feels good, you just go with it. And then I even tried to get some younger rappers to rap it for me, and they were like, no, man, I can't do nothing to that. I mean, you delivered that. So, and younger rappers, they'd be like, you know, your creative interpretation is yours. Right. So it ain't always for me to come try to step in and to step on what you're doing. So they say, man, it feels good. So listen, there it is.
No, that was great.
He wrote the letter. He wrote the letter.
Going off that way.
Hold on a second. He wrote the letter. He signed it. He put it in the envelope. He sealed it and mailed it out. That's what he did with that.
He delivered on that one. That's he alive.
Thank you, bro.
Oh my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, he alive.
I love that. I love that.
Praise God. I love that.
I love that song. That's the song when you hear, you're getting up and literally praise
God. Yeah, you're gonna do a little something. Yeah. And that's what we need. That was a great introductory song. Yeah. I mean, I wanted people, and I've been asked, why did I choose that song to be my first single? Because I recently just finished the album. And, but, you know, I take people back to just the simple fact that, for Christians, belief is the first. It's the first wall you have to deal with, and whether or not you recognize who Christ is, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has lived on since, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, died on the cross and was arisen. So that same Spirit that's in God is the same Spirit that's in us. Yeah. All I'm doing is trying to embellish it and make sure that I can wake up some people to the understanding of the reality that that Spirit that's in him is in us. And we can do all the things that we do because of that. So He's Alive was my first
give to
my audience. But trust me, there are other profound songs that are going to hit you in some ways that will bring some levity to who you are, who your relationship is with God, and what you need to be doing to sustain yourself in these tumultuous times of life.
Right.
First off, love that song.
I love it.
That song woke me up. like, I'm not going to lie to you. I heard it and I'm like, oh man, that song woke me up.
You know why? Because she's on the couch, and you know what it is?
No, it's
wait. Let me speak. Hold on.
Now I'm going to go over.
Okay. You know, when a video starts, you don't know how it's going to go, right? But then when he's on the couch, okay, and all he did was a little gesture, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And all he did was this. When he started snapping his fingers, I'm like, oh, God, be prepared. Because back in the day, right? Back in the day, with R&B, it was always, right? Snapping the
fingers. Yes, ma'am. Just getting in the groove. That's right. Cool.
If you watch a lot of R&B back in the day, like in the 80s and 90s, it was always the same gesture with the hands and the snapping of the fingers. Okay. It was just like, you know, like a director's cut. Okay. But let's just take it by one. You know, so when he started snapping those fingers, I'm like, okay, it's all over. That's it. We're done. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to know what you were going to say.
So.
Okay, here we go.
Like we were talking about, music comes from your soul.
Okay.
You can hear the influence that you were brought up with in the church on that record.
Yes, true.
Thank you, man. And, thank you. Praise God.
And it is amazing to actually, this is what I love about real artists. They can sit there and make you really visualize.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow. When I saw that, I was like, that is more powerful than anything. Because you got the word out. You understand? Like, you have me going back and going to be like, yo, I got to pick up the Bible on that.
I got to pick up the Bible.
Thank you.
I'm not kidding. Like, that made me like, that's the type of record when you feel real down and you hear that record, that record will pick you up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me tell you, he's got some really stylish suits in that video. Let me tell you. I don't know who his wardrobe manager is, but I'm like, he looks fly, right? Okay, I wasn't gonna use fly, I was gonna look, you know, he looks so dapper, you know, but well, you know what? No, it's the music, right? It's the video, it's the lyrics, and everything like that. But you know what? It's got to be the wardrobe, too, okay?
Yes, man.
Because it's eye candy for me.
Get a bomb.
Because it's
that's a part of the Keith Mitchell experience, just in itself. That's I pride myself on being, you know, somewhat highly fashionable, and they've kind of pushed my image in a certain way in the group, and I'm just taking it and then twisting it a little bit. That's what I'm talking about.
A real artist. That's why I want to know who does his wardrobe.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying, listen, dude, I like the red suit, the lime, the blue. I mean, I liked it all. It was like he was looking sharp.
I mean, that's one thing females can do. Females can check anything out at any time, but I can't even see it. All I saw was him killing it, doing the L thing.
You
caught like the suit. You caught this. I'm like, man, females really. That's what I tell everybody.
Listen,
you gotta pay attention to detail.
Yeah, well, he knows we're paying attention to detail. He knows.
I don't know what you think, but all I do is wear this. Hat on like this. What's your real detail of me?
That's why I'm asking him who does his wardrobe.
Get a bomb on that one.
All right.
Oh, gosh. We're over.
I'm just saying.
No, not us. I'm just saying that's over.
No,
overboard.
Well,
you know I'm saying
when you look good,
off.
You look good. Okay. When then you got the song.
Here we go with this one.
When you look at the Ready or Not video, did they not look the same? Oh my God.
No, it was perfect.
He was together. It was like back, 20, 30, 40 years ago, whatever. And now look at him now. He looks the same.
Now look, the only thing about Ready or Not is that they had me over there. You know, I was kind of caressing a lamp. I was using my energy and my synergy, my whatever little sexuality to caress a lamb. So I'm just grateful that I've been able to graduate
from that
experience into just delivering you the song and letting you vibe with Keith Mitchell and my approach to my presentation. And I've always been relatively visual in the group. And so, you know, now I'm free. I'm free to deliver. Yes,
I can't wait to see it.
As you get go through this album, guys, you're gonna love some of this music because I am, you know, it's kind of like a music ministry of approach.
Okay.
And I was influenced heavily by Mr. Creflo Dollar and his approach to feeding his audience his message and his content. And so that has affected me profoundly in what I'm doing in the music, in the songs that you're going to hear. And he just gives you all them nuts and bolts, and it's so much, and it gives it to you in a way that it's like baby food. You don't chew baby food, you just swallow it.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what Keith Mitchell music is going to be.
Oh, God. He is like so, you know, he just like, he draws you in.
The hardest one. Can I'm say, saying, I can't,
but this is in my wardrobe. But that's what we were. That's what I was talking about. That we won't ever have again. You know what I'm saying? They drive you in, they suck you in, and you're like, ah, you know, I got you. You know, you don't. I mean, there's a few, you know, that are decent or whatever, but, you know, you're not going to get another.
No, it's iconic and legendary, right? That in there. So big. Thank you. Give him a round of applause.
Give him a round of applause. That, you know, I mean.
I can't wait to hear more.
Well.
That got me like, yeah.
Well, we can play it on the way home, too. You know, ooh. I'm just saying. We can blast that with the windows down.
No, you know what it is? I love R&B and I love gospel.
Yeah.
The
gospel always keeps you positive, and it never has a negative turnout.
No.
It makes you feel good. Yeah. And what I love about the gospel, too, is you have a lot of real dedicated fans to the gospel.
Absolutely.
So is the album out yet? Is the album coming out?
The album will be coming out probably near the end of April, second week of May. And then we'll be releasing another single here in a few more weeks, so we won't keep you waiting long. But you know, the name of the album is called Food for Your Life.
Food for Your
Life. Food for Your Life. And I honestly believe that through listening to this music, because the music has changed me as I recorded these songs. Now I'm not afraid to tell the world. I used to smoke marijuana, like, you know.
Oh my God!
Know,
seriously?
Just okay. Like just drinking. You know, like some people drink water, I smoke weed. But I want to tell you, when I recorded these songs, I was going through some things. I was feeling despair, as I said in He's Alive. And I was smoking weed while I was writing these songs.
Oh, wow.
I'm not ashamed to say that, because I love smoking marijuana. Right. But what I'm here to tell you is that God took the desire, and I never got on my knees and asked and prayed. Okay. I never said, Lord, I shouldn't be smoking this weed while I'm sitting up here praising your name and glorifying you this way. I never did that, because I liked everything that I did in the use of marijuana. But I'm here to tell you, as part of my testimony, people,
okay,
is that when you get the word of God in your heart and you become convicted by that word, it can purge your body of the whatever the desire, whatever the addiction that you're going through, it can purge your body when the word gets in your heart. But when we pray sometimes, the Satan always come slipping into your brain saying, you got to go pay your rent. You need to call Sister Johnson back. Oh, your boss is, you got trouble at work. Oh, the kids got this, I got that. So when you read in the Bible, you're often blocked from being able to get the food out of the message of the Bible, because Satan, your mind is his playing field. So, and when we're reading the interpretation and trying to get it, we get blocked. So I'm trying to tell you that music, music is the same thing that rings out in heaven. It was music, you know. When Satan opened his mouth, he'd make harmony, one being. But today, if we take music, just like they take music and we put words of rap on it, and the kids learned it so fast, so furiously, it took over the industry, right? Well, my thought was, when I was writing this music, was that, boy, if you just put the word of God on some music, on some melody, what would happen, Keith? And so that's what happened with this album, is that the album is full of me praising, loving on God, loving on the blood of God, showing people that the authority that God has given you, it's already here. And so the music is just full of this kind of content, not so much about me and a personal relationship with God. It's the glories of God. And I just feel like we as people, we have to be more as excited about him as we are excited about After Seven, or Babyface, or Bobby Brown, or Keith Sweat, you know. And I love all these artists. I've been around these artists for the last 36 years, so I don't have nothing bad to say. I'm just saying, to us people who love God, we need to be able to love him and praise him and be excited about him and what he's done in our lives. because he's done some amazing things to me. He took marijuana away from me, and I never asked. He took it, stole it, gone. And so I'm thinking, you know, if people in AA and drugs and whatnot, if they could get enough word in their heart,
right?
You don't understand the power of it until it happens. I'm just here being a witness telling you that Keith loved it.
Yeah.
God took it. And yeah. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. It happened for me, not because I was asking, because I was recording and singing music to praise him in my life. And look what he done. I'm excited.
Amen.
I love the whole
rest
thing.
My case.
I love this whole thing. This is great. This is a great show.
That's all she
this
wrote.
Is a dope show being with you, man. It really is.
I just love that we had him on. We got to do another follow up with it. But I want whatever that album is coming out. You said in 2 weeks. I want that next single as well.
Yes, ma'am. We'll get that to you.
You better,
man. I appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity to share the music on your program and your listeners and your viewers. And I promise I'll be here and I'll support you continuously. This will not be a one timer.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Keith. I really appreciate that. Remember, everybody, Keith Mitchell on Instagram. Please go find him. Look out for his new album and his single. He's Alive. Oh my God! And you can't get the video from me. That's my own personal right now. That's it. And then after the show, you'll give me the wardrobe guy, and then.
That's my guy. He's amazing, though he is. He's from France. He's a brother, and he's from France. And he's in Atlanta.
I love croissants. Oh my God, we're good.
Okay.
So anyway, thank you again, Keith, for
you're welcome. Gracing. I appreciate you guys. DNA.
DNA.
All right. You want to take us out, baby?
You already know it's your boy, DJ Energetic with Althea. Shout out to our boy,
Keith Mitchell, baby.
Keith Mitchell,
appreciate you. Much love. Thank you, guys. All right. Bye-bye.